You are listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Make sure to subscribe to never miss any Pursuit of Manliness content and join our Pursuit of Manliness community at facebook.com/groups/Pursuit of Manliness. I'm recording this in my office. I don't do that very often, but this is a Friday. It is a gloomy, rainy Friday. It's been raining for, I don't know, a day. And I just thought, you know what, this is a good time to do this as any. We've got a big weekend here at the church. And yeah, we got a guy from our discipleship group called Tribe. He's coming here. His dad's an elder. Not his dad. His girlfriend's dad is an elder, and he's getting baptized here tomorrow. That's pretty cool. So a lot of good stuff happening, but I want to get into this. The truth is, every man deals with temptation. When we think of temptation as men, most men think of lust, perversion, pornography, something to do with being attracted to the opposite sex, but not only be attracted to, but allowing that to cross the line of adulterous thoughts, wicked thoughts, evil, actions, whatever. But really, temptation comes in all forms, all shapes and sizes. Every guy has things that he is tempted by. Every woman has things that she's tempted by, for that matter. Or Jesus would not have referenced it in his prayer when he talked about the, our Father who art in heaven, lead us not into temptation. That we all have various forms of temptation. It could be our pride, ego. It could be an addiction. It could literally be anything. And so what I want to do is use Matthew 4 as kind of the baseline for our thought. And if you haven't read Matthew 4, I want to encourage you to do that. It's the temptation of Jesus after his baptism. He goes out into the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan three different times. And as I said, I'm going to use that for the baseline. I'm going to use other scripture to talk about this. But when we talk about temptation, we need to be mindful of vulnerability. Okay, we're going to be tempted. But how vulnerable am I to that temptation? How vulnerable am I to do not murder? That's not a temptation right now. I'm not vulnerable to that. How tempted are you to, spend money you don't have, or to consume something that you shouldn't consume, or to cross a line emotionally or physically that there's no turning back from that? And so we all have varying degrees of vulnerability. So I'm going to unpack three of them. We're talking about physical, relational, and spiritual. So first of all, we're going to talk about the physical vulnerability. But when I talk about physical, I don't think about in the vein of adultery. I want to talk about, where are you physically? And I don't mean, where are you physically when you listen to this podcast? I'm talking about, where are you physically? Are you hungry? Are you tired? Are you traveling? Are you with your friends? Are you with people that cause you to be tempted? Or, where are you physically when you find yourself being vulnerable? For Jesus, he was out in the wilderness. He was by himself. Relationally, there was no one there. He had fasted for 40 days. He's beginning his earthly ministry. So the where is important. Think about this, if you will. If you and or your family were in a situation where you were in a part of town, a country, or whatever, and you realize this is not safe for us, it's not good for us to be here, I think as a man, you would probably do two things, or you should do two things. Number one, you should keep your head on a swivel. Be very mindful of who's around you, what's around you, maybe areas of escape, anything that you may have for a weapon or something that may protect. So in your situation, you might, in a car, you would lock the doors, or you roll up the windows, or you get your phone out, or you grab your weapon or whatever. And the second thing is, you get out of there, right? Like, if you can, you get out of there. I remember, it was a couple years ago, we were in a downtown area in a shopping center. And I think it was on a Black Friday. It was certainly around that holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas season, but I think it was Black Friday. The place was absolutely packed, and you could just feel the energy in the air, and it wasn't good. Too many people in a small space on multiple levels. It just felt incredibly unsafe. So I just stood up where I was at. I was in a food court, And I just put my head on a swivel. I just started looking around. I noted areas that we could escape to, we could run to, we could leave. I started noticing behaviors or people that were around or people that I thought, you know, could be in an alliance if something, you know. So I started just taking note of the area. And then when the opportunity arose, we got out of there. We were with several people, so it wasn't easy to go, come on, let's go. But I chose not to eat. I chose not to sit down and just put my head in the sand and just pretend like, no, it was my responsibility to protect my wife and children in that moment. And I didn't want to take that, did not want to take that lightly. So you need to know where you're at physically. Where am I? Am I in a vulnerable position? Am I the only one in the house and I'm watching a movie that I shouldn't be watching? Am I, you know, on Twitter or Instagram, there's a hashtag flowing. Where am I? How am I vulnerable within this location? If I'm traveling and I'm in a hotel room, I'm the only person in the hotel room and there's all these cable channels or there's this temptation of I'm supposed to meet this person for, you know, dinner, I know that's not good. So have your head on a swivel and understand where am I at right now? The same way you might do it or you should do it if you're in a parking lot or in your driveway or within your home, okay? So be vigilant when it comes to like, okay, understanding where am I at when it comes to temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I already had that turn there. It works out well. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So it's not like, well, you don't understand. This verse says that it is common to man that while it may not be common to me or may not be the same type of a temptation, but it's still real. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He will allow you to overcome this, okay? But with the temptation, he will also provide you a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You can endure it. You can get through it. It might mean that you have to go without lunch. That night, it meant that I didn't eat dinner before we were going off to, I'll be okay. I need to make sure that I was vigilant, very aware. It may mean that you need to get out of a lunch meeting with all your coworkers because you know you'd be tempted to either sin or be, you understand that, hey, I can go without. I can sacrifice comfort to avoid temptation. Jesus said, pray that God would not lead us not into temptation. So if I feel tempted, I'm in a store, I'm in a location, I feel tempted, where am I? I need to get out of there. I don't have to be there. Number two is relational vulnerability. So we talked first of all about physical vulnerability. Where am I at physically speaking? If you were to drop a pin on a map, this is where I'm at. Number two is relational vulnerability. This is the who. Jesus was vulnerable. He had nobody there with him. He went out in the wilderness. He's fasting 40 days, 40 nights. He is being strengthened by his time with God, and yet Satan just keeps tempting him here. Here's the thing. When we are tempted to sin, when we are living in sin, we either become very disingenuous about our sin, kind of dismiss it like, well, sinners saved by grace, I'm not perfect. At least I'm not as bad as I used to be. Or we just, you know, kind of remove ourselves altogether from any place that might lead us to be convicted. We don't like to be convicted about our sin. I knew a guy who was avoiding going back to his church since he had had a divorce because he didn't want to be asked about it. Now, my guess would be that same guy might also be upset if he went back to his church and nobody asked him like how he was doing or, you know, well, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to ask you or not ask you, okay? So who are you around when it comes to talk, when you talk about sinning? You know, within the pursuit of manliness, we say often that there are the right people to get in your life. People that will pour into you and people you can pour into them and people who are will hold you accountable. But if there are the right people in your life, that also means there are the wrong people in your life. And if the people around you are endorsing your sin, well, that's the wrong people in your life. It might be convenient in the moment to have people who are sinning just like you because at least I don't feel bad about myself. But I promise you, in the long run, either on this side of eternity or the other, you will regret it. You will regret it. Why not just deal with it right now? Now, here's the thing. Relational vulnerability is a sticky one because sometimes we don't have the right people around us because we are draining them. Because you're vomiting your life out on them or you're like a leech and you're just taking from them all the time. So understanding that I am relationally vulnerable right now, that I need to seek out good relationships in my life, I may not be able to be the dominant one. Maybe that's your personality. We see this often in discipleship groups. Somebody wants to be the one who knows everything. When they realize that other people know stuff too, they remove themselves from it. They quit. They don't want to be a part of it. Sometimes you're the one that needs to speak up. Sometimes you're the one that just needs to listen. So for me to be to avoid being relationally vulnerable, I need to put myself in positions where I can get around other people who will not be perfect, but I can get around other people who will help me stay the course, who will help me avoid sin, who will call out my sin when they see it, who will call out areas that they see that are very obvious in my yellow flags in my life. They say, okay, that's a warning sign. We need to say something about that. Again, who are you surrounding yourself with? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship is light with darkness? Jesus is light. He overcame darkness. If you're surrounding yourself or flirting with or bringing in darkness in your life, you're going to get darkness. If you're watching darkness on television, if you're embracing in darkness on social media, if you're allowing darkness in your home, whether through the door or through the internet, you're going to get darkness. Don't be shocked when light doesn't show up when you invite darkness. I don't play around with that stuff. Our home, we do not play around with that stuff. I'm not trying to be afraid of the boogeyman, but when you know there is light and you know there is goodness and life, why would you ever want to deal with that? I'm even the way that if I have the remote in my hand and there's a commercial that I go, this ain't good, I'll turn it. I don't need it. There's no good going to be brought to it. So I need to make sure that I have other people who are around me who are doing similar things, whether it's people within my home, in my church, in my communities. We have a closed Facebook group where you can find some men in there. We have a discipleship group called Tribe. You find men in there. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You're going to have adversity. You're going to have problems. Sometimes you're the problem, and sometimes you inherited somebody else's problem. You're going to have problems. And when you have them, you'll have people, men specifically, who will build you up, encourage you, come alongside you. Again, they'll cut the crap, say, hey, man, we don't do that, man. God's standard is so much higher than that. We don't act like that. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your money? How's your marriage? You got to have people like that. So we first talk about being physically vulnerable, the where. Where am I at physically? Am I traveling? Am I, you know, am I days, weeks without my wife and children? Am I on in a hashtag following? Am I in a closed group? Am I in a whatever? I've left groups because I go, man, this ain't good. Nothing good is coming from this. Or you know what? Whatever I think I'm gaining from this group, it ain't worth it. I'm going to move on from there. It comes down to what do you really want? What do you really want? There's no crime in unfollowing or leaving or whatever. And I think right now, because we have so much available to us through our phones and devices, we are incredibly vulnerable physically and relationally. The last one is spiritual vulnerability. The truth is this should be the first one, but it's where it fell as far as the outline goes, because I believe everything is a spiritual has a spiritual element to it. When you're talking about living your life through the lens of a biblical worldview, every decision has a blessing or a consequence, doesn't it? What I eat, what I wear, what I do, who I talk to, who I don't talk to, it all has, there's an element to it. And Satan, I believe, can manipulate everything. Again, I'm not trying to live like being chased by the boogeyman, but the Bible's pretty clear that he prowls like a roaring lion looking to devour. It's the warning that God gave Cain. Sin is crouching at your door. You must master it. You must rule over it. Its desire is to consume you, is to have you, is to overrule you. It didn't work out very well for Cain, did it? It didn't. If you're not sure, it didn't. That is Genesis 4. Go back, read that. How sad was that? Spiritual vulnerability. This is the what. This is the what. We're talking about what is going in my ears. What are my eyes seeing? What is my heart? What's coming out of my heart, out of the overflow of the heart? The mouth speaks. So what kind of words are being spoken? What's my thought life like?
you know, when I'm sitting by myself or I'm watching TV or I'm driving down the road, what kind of thoughts are marinating in my mind? We are the most vulnerable when we have removed ourselves from God, His Word, and His people. So that's why I say the where and the who should be actually after this. But if you get this one right, the spiritual vulnerability, you understand, okay, I cannot put myself in a position where I'm spiritually vulnerable. How do I avoid that? Get connected to God. Stop making excuses for not being connected to God. Get in His Word. Understand the gospel. Understand that Jesus came to earth for us, to die for us. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And that He's coming back. And that the same Spirit that dwells in us, that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us. It will too raise us from the dead. Understand that we are to be disciples who makes disciples, that we're to evangelize the lost, we're to take the good news to people that need. These are not church words. They sound like it because we don't do it, because we only talk about it in church. We've bought the lie that these are words that we only use for an hour to hour and a half to 2 hours on Sunday, and the rest of the week we talk however we want to talk. We are supposed to be men and women who are living on mission for the kingdom. So to avoid being spiritually vulnerable, be an active participant within the kingdom of heaven. We should do this when a new convert comes and comes to Christ, dies to their self, takes up their cross. We hand them the word of God and say, welcome to the team. Let's get in the fight. Let's go. Let's get on the front lines. Let me teach you how to use that weapon. Let me teach you how to fight the good fight. Let me teach you how to put on the full armor of God. Let me show you what taking up your cross every day looks like. But the enemy of our soul has convinced us that that is just something we talk about small group and, you know, worship on Sunday morning or Saturday night, whenever you have it, or Thursday night or whatever the cool night is now. Whenever you have it, that's the only time you talk about it. It's supposed to be whatever you're listening to this right now, that you have the full armor of God right now, that you have died to yourself today, that you're taking up your cross right now, that we feel the reality of that. Jesus said, whoever hears my words and does them is like the one who built his house on the rock. And I want to build my house on the rock. I want my home to be secure because it's built on the spiritual foundation of Jesus Christ. Because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, that we are now ambassadors for Jesus. What a privilege. I didn't sign up for a club. I didn't join an organization. Man, I got life that is truly life, and I need to make sure other people know that. John 13:4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We abide in Christ every single day. That I want to be covered in the dust of my rabbi, that I want to follow Jesus, that when people see my life, they don't see a hypocrite. They don't see someone trying to overcompensate or be uber spiritual, but they see somebody who is following Jesus, that I communicate the blessing of being forgiven of my sins, redemption through the blood of Jesus. I got to get that more and more. He must, as John said, I'm saying right now, he's got to increase in my life. I have to decrease in my life. It has to become less about me and more about him. And when it's more about him and less about me, I see people and things differently. I see podcasts differently. I see opening up my home differently. I see my resources differently. I see my time differently. That's what I want. Because if you read Matthew 7, I want to read this real quick. It wasn't my plan, but while the Bible's here, we should probably read it. Matthew chapter 7. And maybe we should wrap up with this. Jesus says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father, does the will of my Father, is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It really wasn't about Jesus' name, was it? It was more about them. Like, that's my fear as a pastor, that it would become about me, or a podcaster, or a human, that it becomes more about me than it does Jesus. that I'm driving it instead of honoring Christ through it. So the question isn't, do you know Jesus? The question is, does Jesus know you? He said, apart from me, I never knew you. And below that, where he talks about building your house on the rock, the ones who, that's my arm, by the way, the one who does his words, one who puts them into practice. I share this many times. You're going to hear this a lot. But the only way I do the Word of God, the only way that I'm obedient to God's Word is when I close the gap from when I hear it or read it, like you're hearing it right now, I just read it, and the application thereof. So I read it. How can I apply that right now? Not tomorrow, not this evening, not, you know, when I get to my small group. As I close that gap, that's where obedience shows up. Because from reading it and application, if that gap is too far, obedience is that's an afterthought. Or I can convince myself that I was obedient to that. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practices to distinguish good from evil. You want to keep yourself from being vulnerable to sin, consume solid food. Ask the Lord for discernment, and you'll be able to distinguish between good and evil. That the alarms go off in your head and say, this ain't good. You need to get out of here. You need to turn the channel. You need to go home. You need to log off. You need to go upstairs. You need to go outside. Whatever it is, you keep your head on a swivel and say, I need to get out of here. And then you say, I need to make sure I get around the right people. As I said, we have a group, facebook.com/groups/pursuit of manliness. A bunch of guys in there. Love Jesus. No, they're not all Christian. Some of them are just hanging out. We appreciate that. It's a great start. There's a lot of starting places. Just get one. Your church, your small group, wherever. They're not going to be perfect. They're going to let you down. You're probably going to let them down too. But get around them. Find them. Stay connected to them. And grow spiritually every day. Get the Bible. Read it. Mark it up. Write in a journal. Make some notes. Tell somebody what you read. Tweet it, Facebook it, I don't care, whatever. Tell your wife and children and grow. Understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ who dies to themselves, who understands that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again. What does he want me to do? He wants me to repent, be baptized, walk in a newness of life. I can do that. Then what do I do after that? You're now an ambassador for Christ. You help other people do the same thing. When you're living on mission for Jesus, I will promise you this. You will have less temptations. You're still going to be tempted, but they're different. You know why? Because you're focused on eternity. Because you see that relationship at work as, you know, you don't have to worry about crossing the line. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Jesus will keep you from crossing the line. Share the gospel. Be an evangelist. Be a disciple maker. And some of those temptations will start to take care of themselves. You'll still have them, but you'll live with a radically different focus. You'll be kingdom focused. So think about it. Look up those verses. Think for yourself. Be like the Bereans. Search them diligently. Accept them with willingness and see if they are so.
Thank you for listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Make sure to leave a comment or question to keep the conversation going. I would also appreciate it if you would share this show with your friends as we seek to build better men together.